Seems like I'm always one bad with announcements. I forget to announce things. But as far as street preaching goes, this Saturday, we're going to meet at the Rensselaer Church, try to do it every other week. And I think what we'll do on Lowell's up north, we'll do it on a Sunday afternoon, save a trip for most everybody. So maybe just like an afternoon, go up to Crown Point or Lowell or whatnot. So I don't know about next Sunday, maybe the following Sunday. So last night, a few of us went up to Crown Point. I think Jan and I was driving up here, and I said, you know, I don't think I told anybody about this. But, oh, well, that's how it goes. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, and then James chapter 1. Okay, Galatians 1, verse 10. Paul is giving his testimony. In this letter, Paul's defense is of the gospel, how pure it is, the purity of it. Don't add anything to it. Don't subtract anything from it. He shows in verse 10, he shows the basic limitations that we have in the New Testament to try to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ, and it is the art of persuasion under the power of the Spirit of God. Galatians 1:10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal a son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he delivered and glorified, and they glorified God in me." Okay, the basic idea, notice in verse 13 and 14 the word religion. Okay, James chapter 1, if you would, James 1 verse 26 and 27. Okay, 26 says, "If any man seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world." Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand these passages. Help us to recognize the differences between religions in this world. Help us to be able to boil them down to one or two. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this book often is referred to as a religious book. People think that's a religious book. But in the passages you just read, in the Bible, the word religion occurs 5 times. The word religious occurs 2 times. That's 7 in all. So we've read 5 of the 7 references. The other 2 you will find in the book of Acts, one in chapter 13 and the other one, I think, is 26. In Galatians, Paul is basically giving his testimony. And if you go back to Galatians, we can run some things real quick there. Galatians 1, he is going to certify his testimony. Now, to certify something is a legal document. You have in the postal system what's called a certified, you certify the mail, or you're going to send it through certified, or then there's one called registered. Okay, in court you have a thing called certified documents. If somebody claims that you owe them money, or you are indebted to them, and you are questioning this debt, all you have to do is ask them to certify the debt. That's the legal term, certify the debt. And most of them cannot do it. No credit card company can do it because it's all fraud. Every bit of it's fraud. You know, this country, the whole monetary system, the whole banking industry right now in this country is, every bit of it is fraud. It's not going to last much longer. In the Bible, the law, the years of Jubilee was the Bible method of preventing mega rich corporations buying over a nation. And it was a prevention of recessions or depressions. Now, recessions or depressions are orchestrated by the Fed. It's all a fraud. Okay, and here in verse 12 or verse 11, he's talking about certifying something, okay? And that's a legal term. He is certifying his testimony. I'm probably going to come back to that a little bit later. But last week I mentioned that if you look at the world as a whole, how did the world get here? You boil that down of one of two ways. And if you can boil a lot of arguments down to one of two ways, then it kind of helps you understand the arguments better about things. There are two types of people in the world. You have saved or lost. You have in a real family, a male and a female. Okay, that's a real family, and then the children. Okay, the reason why the sodomites are pushing so much hard for legislation is because they can't reproduce. They always have to steal some innocent child or something. Okay, that's how it goes. Okay, and so it's a male and female, but you can narrow it down to two. If you look at government, there are two types of government. Only two. You're not going to get anything else. There's only two types. One is the government controls the people. That is called fascism, Nazism, socialism, communism, oligarchy, monarchy, democracy. That's all where government controls people. The other one is the people control the government. That's called a constitutional republic. Okay, that's one, and that's the only two you're going to find. You go to every nation in this world, it's one of two governments. You go to Panama, you go to Costa Rica, you go to Brazil, you go to Islam and Saudi Arabia. It's one of two styles. Government controls the people, or the people control the government. You're not going to get away from that. Whatever they call it, America today is more of what's known as an oligarchy. The way it's running today, it's an oligarchy. The few at the top are manipulated, controlling the vast majority. That's how this country's running. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Okay, and so when you look at this world system, you have one of two choices. The world got here naturally. That's one choice. And the other choice is it got here supernaturally. One choice is Darwin evolution. Where? How did the world get here? Well, either it got here naturally by itself, it created itself naturally, or it's been around forever naturally. That's the only two choices. Now, in science, those are the one of the two they have to teach. Okay? They do not teach that a being, obviously we know him as God of the Bible, spoke this world into existence and created it. That's your two choices. I wish they would teach those two choices in science class. Teach them both. And one is scientific, one is not. This one is non-scientific, because science disproves this idea. Interestingly, the man that's given credit for the evolutionary side is a guy named Charles Darwin. His only degree was theology. And interestingly, on his deathbed, he denied what he believed. Now, here's this side, okay? This side, and then this side, you have a supernatural being, God, who created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, now, this side, the progression, if you have this belief system, then it drops down, what are your rules in life? Okay, the rules on this side is there are no rules. If you're going to be consistent, survival of the fittest. And of course, you know, I talked about my dog and how much he kills things, and he doesn't apologize to anybody. He doesn't get under conviction. He doesn't weep about it. He doesn't worry about it. He brought his latest prize, a little raccoon on our back porch. He just set it right there. He just wants us to brag about what he's done. And he doesn't feel sorry for it. There's no stealing. There's no lying. There's no nothing on this side. But you say, yeah, but all those people on that side believe in some sort of a standard. That's right, because they're hypocrites. There's not one person on this side that will believe what they believe completely. Now, Adolf Hitler came close, survived the fittest. Stalin, he tried it. You see, Charles Manson, he's over there, he's getting close, but none of those guys are completely and absolutely consistent. None of them. On this side, okay, on this side, well, come on, think about it. Okay, on this side, on the evolutionary side, every person is a chemical accident. Isn't that what they say? It's a chemical accident. You accidentally evolved from an amoeba, and so you are a chemical accident. Your thoughts would be a random thoughts of chemical accidents, and when you die, you will be just another chemical accident. So there's no rules, no morality, no laws, no nothing, if you're consistent. That's on this side. You evolved from a puddle up to paradise, so go buy your car at a junkyard. Because it's going to evolve better someday. People say, well, that's an inorganic item. So was the rock that exploded many years ago. See? And so that's that side. Now, okay, if you believe this naturally, then you have these rules or laws, which are none. The laws are survive the fittest. Whatever I have to do to survive, that's what's good for me. Whether I tell the truth, whether I tell a lie, whether I steal, whether I don't steal, it doesn't matter because none of those things are issues. That's called situational ethics. On this side, if God created heaven and earth, as a creator, he has a right to lay out laws, rules, standards, holiness on this side. He has a right to do that, obviously, as a creator. And of course, he has done that. Now, on this side, you have holiness, and then you have justice. When you violate those laws, there's justice. Now, it's amazing to me, on this side of the coin, they believe in justice. Now, it's a little whacked out justice, but they still believe in some sort of a justice. Why do they believe in it? Because they're hypocrites. That's why. You say, well, there's hypocrites on this side too. I understand that. I understand that. There are. Okay, but the thing is here's the absolute being, and there's no hypocrisy in him. There ain't no hypocrisy in Jesus Christ. Okay? And then you got rules and standards, convictions. Okay, now, again, if you look at all the world religions, you're going to boil them down to one of two religions. You got one on this side, and you've got one on this side. Now, again, on this side, they're not consistent. So what they're going to do is they're going to reach over on this side and try to pull some over. But still, it's on this side. Two basic religions in the world. Okay, I read Galatians 1 and James 1. We read the word religion and the word religious. There's seven occurrences in the Bible. There are five of them mentioned here. In the Bible, if you are technical with your words, the word religion in the Bible always refers to Judaism. Every single time. When did Judaism begin? Judaism began as a result of when Israel marched out of Egypt. Moses got the doctrines for Judaism on Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. That's Old Testament doctrine. That's kingdom of heaven. That is a physical, literal kingdom. That's how Saul grew up, and then he changed, got born again, and became Paul. That's what he's talking about in Galatians chapter 1. He said, I was following Judaism. I was killing the Church of God, what I was doing was correct. And if you study history, you will find that religion kills people of other religions. That's how it goes. That's what religion is. Now, isn't it weird? It's an oxymoron. We're going to kill you because you're not good and we are good. But in a process of declaring our goodness, we're going to kill you in the process. But you like the United Nations who are spreading peace throughout the world through the end of a gun. Same process, okay? So this side,
Basically, it is a basic goodness of man. That's their religion. They're going to promote man's goodness. On this side, the religion is you promote God's goodness. That's your two basic faiths. You see, and so basically, if you would look in Romans chapter 10, this is laid out in Romans 10. Now, in James, when you read the word religion, that is also an application of Judaism, because when you look at James chapter 1, verse 1, it is written to the 12 tribes. That is Judaism. Throughout history, if you take it back to Adam, about 6,000 years ago, there's only one religion that God has authorized, according to this Bible, throughout history, and that's Judaism. Now, in the context this morning, I will use religion. I'll use it loosely for Christianity, but technically, Christianity is not a religious faith, a religion in per se, because it's a personal relationship with your Creator. But we'll still use that phrase for this context. In Romans chapter 10, here's the basic philosophy of religion. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Okay, what is religion? It's man trying to make himself look good. That's what religion is. I don't care what religion you talk about, Buddhist, Confucius, Taoism. I don't care which one you talk about, animism. I don't care if it's Catholicism. I don't care if it's Protestantism. I don't care what denomination. It's man trying to make himself look good. It's my baptism. It's my church membership. It's my pastor. It's my man of the cloth. That's all that it is. It's me keeping the Sabbath. It's me doing this. It's my goodness. And that's what basically man's really. It's a religion of works. You take this right back to Cain. Now, basically, when you look at religions, they all have the same common starting point. The common starting point of all religions is basically this, that a person should be good. That's the idea. A person should be good. A person should be morally good, socially good, ethically good. They should be good husbands, good wives, good children, good neighbors, good in our business practices. Love and justice is right. Selfishness and hate is wrong. Man's duty is to love, to be kind, to have mercy, to be honest, to be just. But you see, on this side of the coin, none of those things matter. You see, my dog, he don't have to be good. You say, if he's not, you'll yell at him. Yeah, of course, but he's just doing that because I'm going to yell at him. It's not because he has a desire in his heart. You see, he's not going to try to make himself look good. He doesn't get under conviction. You know, it's man. It's amazing how people are always got to make themselves look good. Well, I'm not as bad as that guy. So what? You know, you could always find somebody worse than you. But you see, that's man's nature. You're not going to find a book in anywhere in any bookstore written by a mother writing about her son who's a serial killer. They are not going to talk about that. Why? They're ashamed of that. Why should they be ashamed of that if they're an evolutionist? They should not be ashamed of it. But you see, the reason why that is because God put in man the idea that there is a God and you're going to give an account to him. You're going to answer to him. You're going to answer that. You see, the whole idea of the evolutionary idea is that you're going to get out of the appointment that you have with God someday. That's the motive of it. And so, but yet, in their conscience, they know that they got to somehow appear good, so they do all these good things. You see, the problem is, the differences between the religions is they cannot agree on the amount or type of goodness. They can't agree on that. And when they can't agree on that, then they'll kill each other over it. You see, that's the problem. The Muslim faith, you got to do this, 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 and this. And then the sixth one is anybody don't agree with your faith, you got to kill them. That's the Muslim faith. Okay, the Catholicism faith, you got to You got to get baptized an infant. You got to keep the sacraments. You got to be true to Holy Mother Church. You got to do this, that, and this. But then again, you're not guaranteed anything. It's just all in hopes. In some Protestant churches, it's you got to receive Jesus Christ. You got to get baptized. You got to endure to the end. Hey, there's ain't no difference. It's one or all. You see, it don't matter what. In Buddhism, you got to sit down there cross-legged, hold your finger just right, say Om. You know? You got to bang on the bong, you know, every so often. I've been in the Buddhist pagodas. You know, you got to, you know, attain samadhi. You know, I was trying to witness to one of these Buddhists. And, of course, one of the idea of Buddhism is mind over matter, right? We'd played basketball, and I thought, man, that's a good time. I'm going to try to witness them. After playing basketball, he said, man, I'm tired. I'm going to go home. And I'm thinking, if it's a matter of mind over matter, you're not tired. It's just your problem with your mind. You see? And the Lord arranged it where his grandfather died, this gentleman, when his grandpa died, and so I thought that's a good chance to witness to him, so I tried to witness him. I said, hey, you ever wonder where your grandpa's at right now? Yeah, I've wondered about that. So I gave him the whole gospel plan of salvation, told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see that he was under conviction. I said, would you like to receive Christ? No, not this time. Why? Because he was too good himself. And he was a disciplined person, a very disciplined guy. Okay, but the problem is, Jesus Christ don't save proud people. He will not save a proud man. The proud man must humble himself to come to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ died for sinners. He didn't die for good people. You see, he died for sinners. You say, well, they're not good. I understand that, but they think they are. And if you doubt that, just ask them. The Bible says every man will proclaim his own goodness. They'll brag about themselves, tell them how good they are. You see, the zealots of religion often will murder their dissenters, but they have a reason why they murdered them. They have a way to justify it. They were hurting the Holy Mother Church. So I was defending the Holy Mother Church. You see, the most religious people there of Judaism were the ones that killed Jesus Christ. These guys were so holy that they couldn't walk into the Gentile building because they defiled themselves, but yet they're trying to murder Jesus Christ. You see, that's what religion does to people. Now, in Paul's testimony, he was a religious Jew. He was killing Christians. What he was doing was the right thing under Judaism. He met Jesus Christ, and then after he got born again by receiving Jesus Christ, he went down to Saudi Arabia, down to Mount Sinai, and as Moses received the doctrines for Judaism, Paul down there received the doctrines for Christianity, and then he came back and started telling people about his faith in Jesus Christ. You talk about doing a 180, that goes against nature. Communists teach that if you get a child from 0 to 7 years old, when you ingrain in them from 0 to 7 years old, you have that child for life. Generally speaking, that's true. But this Bible and Jesus Christ can go contrary to that. That goes against nature. You see, this is what religion, man's religion, is in actuality a worship of oneself. That's what it is. This is why people get so emotional when you deal with religion. Why are they so emotional? When you are exposing the fallacies of their faith, you are exposing the fallacies of their life. Your faith is a hypocrite here, here, and here. People say, well, you shouldn't do that. Jesus Christ did. And you do it too. If you don't like the way somebody's driving on the highway, you gladly tell them that you don't like it. You should leave their ways alone. You shouldn't correct other people the way they drive. That's their business. That's personal. You know, that's how they were raised. You see? And so everybody agrees. Everybody exposes the false beliefs of somebody in some realm, in some way. So in religion, when you're dealing with man's religion, it is a worship of self is really what it is. I'm good. I'm holy, my church is holy, my baptism's valid, I did this, I did that. You see? Now, if it's a religion that tends toward feminism, as religions do, it will have a mother-son relationship, and they will exalt the mother over the son. Now, if you doubt that, go to Europe, and you'll see some churches where they'll actually have Mary on the cross, not Jesus Christ. They'll have a big Mary holding a little baby. They're exalting Mary. The only way to Jesus Christ is to come to his mother. That is a faith of feminism. That goes back to Genesis chapter 11. It's a mother-son worship is what it is. Then you have the religions of masculinity, where you have the man or the male species is a tyrant over the females. That's what Muslim faith is. Muhammad was a tyrant over the women, and the Quran says you're going to have four wives, but Muhammad had 11. He violates his own book. That's a religion of tyranny, but yet if you talk to them, they're going to tell you their goodness of what they've done. You see, these religions are religions trying to elevate man. Now, when these people have to admit along the way that they have not followed their faith completely, and there's got to be a sacrifice, which there will be, the sacrifice will almost always be another party. They will sacrifice an animal or a child. If you study religions, Greek mythology, you study these religions, they will sacrifice a child. They will be a tyrant over an innocent child and kill that child, and this has happened throughout history. This is man trying to justify himself. Now, back in Romans chapter 10, the faith of the Bible itself on the other side is very simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, this is Judaism, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, works, Old Testament, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so on this side it's man trying to promote his goodness. On the other side of the coin, it's God's goodness. In order to get on God's faith, you have to reject your goodness and say, no, I am not good. I understand that I am not good, so I am going to accept the righteousness of God. That's the two beliefs. One is one where you have to earn it and work for it, and the other one is it's a free gift. And the Creator, God Himself, is the one who sacrifices. On this side, the followers must sacrifice. Allah wants you to sacrifice your child for jihad. On this side of the coin, God Himself, His Son, Jesus Christ, sacrificed Himself for man. That's the basic difference between those two. Now, on this side of the coin, if you think about it, this side is the most logical of the two. Why? Well, on this side, none of them are absolutely certain about anything. They don't know anything about it. They don't know if they're going to work enough to get it. They don't know if they've attained it. They'll never know. They'll never figure it out until the day they die. And then what a surprise they're going to get. On this side, the free gift is given through Jesus Christ. Now, on this side, you have examples in nature. On this side, you have where a mother sacrifices, and a mother goes through travail, and a mother goes through pain and suffering and emotions, and a mother gives life to the baby. On this side, you have Jesus Christ who suffered, Jesus Christ who died, Jesus Christ entered the jaws of death, Jesus Christ was buried, and then he gives eternal life to the ones who come to him. That's a very logical thing. If you would look in your Bible at Genesis chapter 26, the reason why it's a logical thing is because the Bible is a record book more than it's a religious book. It is a book of records. It deals with logic. Now, it's an interesting thing in the Bible that this Bible, as you read through this Bible, you will see that it always tends to gravitate towards the male. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost, referred to as He. The angels, all angels in this Bible are men. Every last one of them are men. The pastors are men. The deacons are men. Of this 66 books in his Bible, two are named after females. Two and only two. People say, well, that's male chauvinistic. Well, you may think so, but when you find a nation or a man who honors this book, the women are treated much better. On this side of the coin, how are the females treated in nature? Man, you're stepped on, man, you're lowlife. On this side of the coin, when you go to a country where Islam is a major faith, how are the ladies treated? Like scum. You see? When you exalt this book, when a man exalts this book and he says it's a faith of our fathers rather than the faith of our mothers, the faith has more stability, more logic to it. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. Genesis 26, verse 24. The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Look at that. He exalts the father. He didn't say, I am the God of Sarah, thy mother. No, it's Abraham, thy father. You see, in next chapter 28, verse 13. This is with Jacob, the next boy down. Chapter 28, verse 13, Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Again, it's referring to the father. Why is that true? It's because, generally speaking, yes, ladies tend to be more spiritual than men. I understand that. They tend to be more spiritual. But the spirituality is often deceived. Why is that? You take that back to the Garden of Eden. When Eve, in her motive to please God, did wrong. Her motive of taking the fruit was to be like God. That motive was not a wrong motive. The method was wrong. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. Adam was the one responsible. Adam knew that when he took of that fruit, that he was choosing his wife above his God. He was making his wife an idol over his God. That's what Adam was doing. Adam knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing was against his God. Eve did not know that. If you would look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the man is held accountable for that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. The faith of the Bible is a faith that's reasonable, that is very logical. It's a faith that can be studied. It's a faith that a man can accept. But when you go to most churches nowadays, the women will outpopulate the men. Why? It's usually based on emotion. The movement that's the biggest movement of it, if you want to put it in a movement, is the charismatic movement. That is a feminine movement. And if you doubt that, go and check them out. Go see who's talking in tongues. It'll be the women. Go and see who's running the show. It'll be the women. You see? And that's, I'm just telling you the way it is. You go check it out. And when you deal with those people about doctrines, you will see an emotional dynamite take place. I mean, I've watched it. I have seen them throw Bibles. You know, this one woman I was dealing with about this, I didn't even want to read the passage to her. I want to let her read it herself. When she read that, she got so mad, she took her spiritual, holy Bible and threw it on the ground like that. And I just smiled and said, see, lady, your problem's not with me. Your problem's with God. I mean, that's how spiritual. One of these guys was telling me about how spiritual his grandmother was and this and that and this. And he asked me a question, what do you think about? And I said, oh, my soul. If I answer that question, that guy is going to be honked off at me. And so when he asked the question, I looked at him and I said, you want an answer? Well, yeah. I said, do you want a Bible answer? Man, I wasn't going to get a knuckle sandwich if I can avoid it. Besides, I had a bar between us so I could back up. And I just said, you read it for yourself. And I turned that Bible around and I read that thing. And head guy got so mad he's trying to reach through the bars to punch me out. I just showed him that his grandma won right. Her faith was a faith of emotion. She was spiritual, but it was a spiritual deception. If you want to look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. She was deceived. He was not. He was out and out rebellious against God. There's the man's nature. You know what animal in the Bible God portrays us men as, unsaved men as? It's a jackass. Ain't that a nice thing? Ain't that a nice thing how God builds our self-esteem? I saw a guy years ago, he had a tattoo on his arm. Born to be wild, he had written right there. Born to be wild. He's a Kentucky boy, Pentecostal kid. And I said, man, you got a Bible verse in your arm. He didn't know that. He did not know how spiritual he was. He tattooed a Bible verse on his arm. Born to be wild. He said, where is that in the Bible? I said, Job 11, verse 12. I said, look at that. Job 11, verse 12, where it says, a man is born like unto a wild ass's colt. I said, now ain't that like you? He kind of went like this. I said, aren't you like a jackass? Ain't you stubborn? He had to go like this. Well, yeah, I guess so. There's many a southern man, because down in the Bible Belt, there's many a southern man who knows how to get saved, knows what to do to get saved, and actually knows how to win somebody else to Christ, but is not saved himself. Why? He's so stubborn that he knows that if he receives Jesus Christ, he's got the sneaky suspicion that then he's going to have to obey Jesus Christ. And he don't want anybody telling him what to do. He's stubborn. And that's his problem. And that's why they're born to be wild. And you see, in Exodus chapter 13:13, when a man doesn't receive the lamb on this side by grace through faith, then you break that ass's neck. And that's the death sentence on them. You see, and here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, her and her husband, continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, what's he talking about in verse 15? Okay, when a lady goes through a bearing of a child, a carrying of a child, her emotions, because ladies, you are made by God to be an emotional being, your emotions will fly up and down and up and down. Now, come on, you know that. One minute you hate his guts. The next minute you love him. And you meant it both times. You see, why? It's because God has made you where you're changing every single day. You say, what, man, why does he do that? Well, come on, because that's the comfort that's in a home, the emotion, the love aspect. When a child does, when a child hurts himself, when a girl hurts herself, the little child, who do they run to for comfort? They don't go to him. Why? Because he's going to say, I told you so. No comfort's coming from him. The comfort comes from her. You see, and that's how God put us male and female together to give a balance in a home. Where the husband is the stability, the logic, the reasonable, and he's going to search this faith out, the faith of our fathers. And he's going to follow that logically. And if she yields to that logic through emotional times, if she makes a decision during his emotional times, it's going to be a wrong decision. And the way she'd get stability is come to him. Now, what does a lady do if she don't have that stability? Well, then she's got to rest on God the Father himself. And you see, if you would look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, now here's an example of a lady like that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Notice the faith that was put in Timothy came from his mother and his grandmother. But do you know who led him to Christ? Paul. And Paul became his spiritual father. You see, there's the spirituality came, the unfeigned faith, the sincere faith, came from his mother and his grandmother. Now, his mother was a Jewess. She was in Judaism, but she discovered that Jesus Christ was the Savior. She discovered that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And she put aside her goodness of Judaism and came to the goodness of God himself by grace through faith. You see, she switched churches, as they say. She came to Jesus Christ. You see, basically, on this side, it's all a worship of man, every bit of it. But yet, they'll pick some things over from this side to try to make themselves look good. On this side, it's the goodness of God himself, and the worship and the faith is placed in God. So your two basic religions, I don't care what title you put on your religion, is... it's one is exalting man, and the other one's exalting God. Now, the trick on it, here's the real trick where the real deception gets in is, what do you do with people who are trying to exalt God but yet throw in their goodness? See, they're trying to straddle a fence. Oh, yeah, I want to receive Christ, but, you know, I do got to get baptized. I do have to endure to the end. I do have to do all these things. I do have to do all these things. Those people are putting themselves above God. They're making themselves equal with God. That's why the true faith of this Bible is a faith that comes to Jesus Christ and to him alone and relies on him and him alone and realizes that none of my goodness has absolutely nothing to do with my salvation. And it's coming to Jesus Christ. Now, after we come to Jesus Christ, then we try to live a holy life to please him. That's the religion of the Bible, that's the true faith of God, is when you come to Jesus Christ and him alone. Okay, well, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see this truth of all the different religions in the world. People say all the religions are the same. Well, that's kind of true, where they all trying to work themselves to get somewhere. But the true faith of God is coming to you and to you alone. The true faith of the Bible is a faith that exalts God, exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone and his sacrifice that he gave at Calvary. And when a man or a woman puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, that's when they're given eternal life. And Lord, I pray you'd help us realize that all, every one of us, our righteousness are as filthy rags. When any man tries to compare himself to Jesus Christ, he's going to fall short. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to understand this great truth. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you look at all world religions, you can boil them down to one of those two faiths. One is a basic goodness of man. The other is the basic goodness of God himself. When man's trying to work his way to show how good he is, and the other is men who know they're no good, men and women who know exactly what they are, they're sinners, and they come to God and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him and him alone for eternal salvation. And that's the ones who get eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the piano plays, the instruments play, the altar's open. This is a very logical thing, and I have talked to many a man who says it can't be that simple. I'm going to pay my own way. Well, they certainly did not do that the first time. Their mother did everything the first time. Why would they think they got to do it the second time? The religions of the world that exalt man and his goodness are all based on emotion. That's why people don't want to talk about it. It's personal. The faith that is based on this Bible and God Himself is something that's logical, that gives such great joy that you want to tell other people about it. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see this basic differences between man's religions that are all man-made, that try to steal some things from your side, and then there's the true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us recognize that, notice that difference, and come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen.